Hey, Dan.
Hey, yeah.
Happy World Beard Day, bro.
Oh, thanks, bro. Happy World Beard, bro.
What'd you do for it?
Oh, fucking not much, man. Fucking recording a special, special episode of the podcast.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Yeah. Hungover today?
Oh, a little bit hungover, man. I had the brother-in-law up, so that was always fun.
Nice.
Yeah. Apparently, chartreuse isn't for everybody.
No, it's not.
Oh, shit. So are we doing this or what?
Fucking let's get into it.
Cool.
This is a public service announcement brought to you, in part, by Liquor. This podcast is produced by belligerent, drunken pricks. As a result, there may or may not be spoilers contained within. We will try, dear listener, to warn you that a spoiler is incoming, though we cannot promise. We're drunk, goddammit, so consider this your first and final warning. Furthermore, we would like to take the time to point out there will be a fair fucking amount of coarse fucking language.
My beard, it's quite impressive. It's sending you a message. I'm gonna make your hairy dreams come true. My beard, you know you want it. Now, baby, it's time to get on it. Girl, don't be afraid, cause I am bringing my beard to you.
G'day and welcome to the Drunken Beersman Podcast. I'm your host, Drunkle Dan, and with me as always, the Voltan Collective to my Earth Republic. It's...
JD. Am I the Earth Republic?
No, you're the Voltan Collective.
Oh, good. Oh, that's not even good. I fucking don't like either of them. Fuck you.
I don't really like either of them anyway, but I had a slip of defiance reference in there somewhere.
All right.
Or would you rather be the mustache to my beard?
Neither. Although everyone likes to ride the mustache.
Porn stash.
Anyway.
Well, we've got a fucking massive show this week, bro, so let's not fuck about. It's time for a booze review.
A booze review.
All right, brother, what do you got for us this week?
I got a bottle of McCallum's Scotch Whiskey.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I do.
Fuck you, man. I remember, how's this? Just to fucking interrupt just your review.
A bit of Drunkle Dan trivia.
A bit of Drunkle Dan fucking history. This is literally the very first scotch I ever drank.
Nice.
Yeah, my grandparents used to drink it by the fucking gallon, man. Fuck yeah. So it's the very first scotch I ever fucking tried.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was. It's got a special place in my heart.
I don't even remember what mine was. I think it might have been something stupid like... fucking Johnny Walker.
Probably.
That's probably what turned me off it.
Yeah, probably. I wouldn't be fucking surprised.
But anyway, McCallum's is a blended scotch from Edinburgh, Scotland. To be honest, dude, I couldn't find fuck all information on this, eh?
Yeah, which is a little bit surprising because it's definitely been around for a fucking while, hey?
Mm. Well, the only info I got was that it's got a bit of Speyside single malt in it. And Diageo own it.
Fucking Diageo.
Fucking Diageo.
Fuck yeah.
So anyway, it's 40%. Pretty standard price tag on it. I picked this up for 32 Australian.
Yeah, it is a rather fucking cheapy fucking sort of scotch that you're gonna find around the place.
Mm. And yeah. That's
that's about it, all you bro. Got?
That's all I could find.
I know that a big part of the single malts that they use is that Craigmore Colour, which is a pretty decent sort of fucking single malt. So other than that, man,
I think
yeah,
that's what the single malt that I was referring to.
Yeah,
it's one of the Speyside ones.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. It's a very nice fucking Speyside actually. So yeah, it's got a decent little bit of fucking heritage to it. It's rather light for a Scotch, I find.
You reckon?
Yeah, I reckon it is, man. Like, it's not fucking light like that fucking...
It's not light.
it's like, not light, but it's definitely lighter than, say, your Ballantines or your fucking... Definitely lighter than your Johnny Walker. Not as light as that fucking Glen Grant, but...
It's lighter than your fucking Shiva's Regal as well.
Yeah, for a blended scotch, it's rather light. I've noticed that the blendeds tend to be a little bit fucking darker than the fucking single malts, so...
Which doesn't surprise me at all.
No, not really.
The fact that there's what could be up to like a dozen different single malts in it.
Yeah, well, anything up to 75 for a couple of them. So it can get a bit fucking ridiculous. And I mean, as for the fucking...
It's really sweet and smell, isn't it?
It is. It is a rather sweet one, man. Like, the memories that fucking smell brings back, you know, especially with just a dash of water over some fucking ice, man. Just...
Mm.
Like, I grew up with that fucking smell pretty much. Like, you know...
Smells like burnt honey, really.
It does have a fucking rather fucking honeyed sort of fucking scent to it.
Like a charcoal-y honey kind of fucking effort.
Yeah, it doesn't have a lot of the oaky fucking peaty notes that you find a lot of the scotches have. So, yeah, no, it's I think a beauty. It's a rather sweet fucking scotch to be smelling. But let's not fucking stand on ceremony.
Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It's good, eh?
It's got a nice long aftertaste, doesn't it?
It does, but it's not fucking horrible. It doesn't fucking have an ultra fucking harsh sort of finish to it.
Mm.
It's one that's... It's probably the cheapest scotch you'll find. Yeah, no, it is probably the cheapest scotch you'll find that you can quite comfortably and easily sit there and just drink it on the fucking rocks. You don't need to mix it, you know what I mean? And especially seeing as my grandparents... didn't, you know what I mean? If you dared to fucking put anything but a dash of water in their fucking scotch, you'd get shot. Like, taught my mum how to drink scotch. Thought she was all hot shit fucking drinking drinking scotch and coke, and my grandfather almost shot her. I mean, literally almost shot her. So, yeah, no, it's fucking nice scotch, man. I do fucking enjoy it quite a lot.
To be honest, it's not my favourite, but it's there for the price tag.
Well, that's the thing, man. For the price range.
$30, man, you can't...
You can't fucking argue with it. You really fucking can't.
No. It's got a... It's very grainy towards the end.
Yeah.
That's what sticks around for me.
Yeah.
Not a huge burn at all. Dissipates quite quickly, actually.
It does. So. It does. I mean, it's not the best coming back up, but that's a story for another podcast.
Not that I plan on having a come back up anyway.
Well, you never do, but, you know, sometimes it happens. So, what are you going to give it, bro?
Look. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm going to give this one a B+.
That's not too bad for someone who don't like fucking scotch.
Well, since we've been doing this, I'm starting to come around to the idea.
I've noticed, actually. It is like, quite fucking good.
Like, it's not to the standard of the Shivas and fucking Dimple and whatnot.
Well, duh.
Obviously. But B+ for me.
Yeah, look, I'd actually probably agree with you there, man. Like, it's not the best scotch you're going to find, but then again, I suppose keeping the price in mind, and, you know, I've got to try and push my bias aside, because, like I said, I fucking grew up with this scotch, so it's always going to hold a bit of a special spot. But no, look, I'm going to give it an A-.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm going to give it an A-, I reckon.
So, what did you get this week?
So, this week, because why not, I got myself a bottle of Jim Beam Devil's Cut 90 proof.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah, man. This isn't the first time I've had it. I've actually fucking got it a couple times before, and I seem to remember one particularly memorable night when you got on the Devil's Cut.
Was that with you?
That was, yeah. I was there. I didn't see the end of it, but you were...
Where the fuck was that?
That was around at the boss's place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I had a fucking huge hangover after that one.
Yeah, it was a big night all around, I think.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, fucking hooah. If I ever get him on, I'll get him to explain.
Was that after we went to the Ari?
I think it might have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you were in fine form and all that.
I was in fine form all night.
So... This is a, the I wouldn't say the latest, it's one of the many offerings that Jim Beam is putting out these days. As the name suggests, comes in at 90 proof or 45%. Now, the name, right? Now, I've only recently found out what an Angel's Cut is, which we will get into soon with the wonderful fucking book I read. But the Angel's Cut is what they call the loss that happens through evaporation during the aging process. Right, so they get this Devil's Cut from the loss of liquor that's absorbed by the actual barrel itself, which is generally around 2-3 gallons, depending on a lot of different factors. So you can extract it back out. There's a couple of different ways, but most distillers don't worry about it. It's just not worth the time and fucking effort for the return that you get. But and Jim Beam are rather cagey about fucking how they get it. All they say is that to create Jim Beam's Devil Cut, an extraordinary bourbon experience, we developed a proprietary process that actually pulls the rich whiskey trapped inside the barrel's wood after they're emptied. We hold this barrel-treated extract until it develops a proper balance of bourbon notes, then blend it with extra-aged bourbon and bottle it 90 proof. Now,
yeah, I was reading all that when we did the Book of Nose one.
Yeah. So that to me, man, it sounds like that's basically what they fucking do with the barrels once they leave. Like, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of scotches, especially a lot of scotches and whiskies, use old barrel bourbons or sherry barrels or whatever it is. Mainly to because as you fucking reuse them, some of that shit gets seeps out and it goes back into the liquor. That's how you get some of the crazy tastes that you do in some of the different fucking scotches and whiskies out there. So it, you know, it sounds like they've basically just put some more Mad Dog in there and just let it go for a bit and then cut it with a bit of fucking fucking Jim Beam Black. But there's also another thing that they do, right? Called Swish.
The fuck Swish?
Now, Swish is a process where they put, you know, a decent amount of fucking, you know, just spring water or just water in the barrel and just leave it in there and they turn it every couple of months. And it does the same thing, right? Because it's wet the wood again. All the, you know, the bourbon and shit that gets trapped in the wood leaches into the barrel. And what you get at the end of it, which they also call Swish, is, from what I hear, a pretty potent fucking drop.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what they're doing. You know what I mean? Who fucking knows? Like, because they're not fucking coming out and saying. So it's about $45 over here in Australia, which isn't really that bad considering, you know, you got your turkey or something like that, which is about $45 itself. I think the maker's mark is just under a touch under 50.
Yeah, and the ABV's lower than what Devil's Cut is.
Yeah, both of those ABVs are a little bit lower than fucking Devil's Cut. And I mean, especially when you look at Jim Beam's other sort of offerings, they tend to be less than more when it comes to the proofing. So, now look, man, I am a fan of this, I've got to say. Like, it's what I found is, yeah, like, it's cool having that extra 5%, which can rock you over, say, half a fucking bottle or three quarters of a bottle. Which is about what I'll drink in a session.
Which I found out last time.
Which you found out last time. But it's not overly fucking overpowering. Like, you know how when you get some of the strong, like that Book of Nose, as nice as it is, that alcohol content just picks you up and fucking doos you in the bum. You know what I mean? Even that Teelings, which is a fucking nice whiskey, coming in at almost 50%, you could tell...
Oh, fuck yeah.
That the fucking ethanol content in that was fucking near and fucking half-half, you know what I mean? I don't get that with this. I really fucking don't. It is a darker colour for a bourbon. It is rather dark, so, you know, you can tell that it's been sort of let to sit there for a fair while.
Smells a business.
Oh, doesn't it? It smells so fucking sweet. It's just lovely.
That's why they call it the devil.
Yeah. It could also be why they call it the devil.
It smells good.
Because it smells so good, and you just forget what you're drinking after a while.
yes, you do.
And I mean, like, I don't know if because I fucking am a fan of my fucking spirits, and because of this particular fucking podcast that I do, like, I don't know if it would kick a less regular fucking drinker, especially one, like, because I go out of my way to find the higher ABVs just cause. So I don't know if it would have an impact on a less regular fucking drinker. I'm really not quite sure, but I've noticed that it doesn't, it gives me a slight kick, but I don't notice the extra ethanol in the fucking taste much, and I don't notice a significant fucking difference. Like, I'll notice a bit of a difference, of course, because duh, but you know, it's not fucking ridiculous friggin', you know, three drinks and I'm done sort of thing like I would with Chartreuse or fucking Absinthe. Like, I mean, when I get on the Absinthe, it's generally fucking two and...
1, 2, 3, 4?
Well, not 1, 2, 3, 4, but two or three, and then I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm going to fucking just wee back a bit and I might fucking have a vodka or even a beer on occasion.
Did I tell you the story about when I blacked out on homebrew Absinthe?
No.
I was at one of my older houses before me and the missus started going out. I was over the backyard at a mate's house.
Yeah.
And we were sitting there a bit around a fire and whatnot, and I'm drinking Jim Beam. And then I started, what else did he have? Some other fucking homebrew bourbon. So I started drinking it. And then I had like two shots of homebrew absinthe.
Homebrew absinthe? Like, what? Okay, so here's the thing with absinthe, right? Or homebrew absinthe, yeah?
Yeah.
The traditional absinthe is a herbal maceration, right? What you get a lot of, especially these days, especially since, you know, they lifted all the bans and shit like that on it, is you get an absinthe bitters, which is basically a bitters that's just got the flavouring. I might have one or two of the main flavours that have been put through it, you know what I mean? And you can tell the difference between a proper absinthe and a bitters because, A, of the lousing. Do you know how you put the water in and it goes like that nice creamy colour? But also, if you try to mix it with, say, Coke, what happens is all the essential oils that seep into it from the fucking herbs and shit will separate back out of it.
Yeah.
So you'll end up with top, a fucking quarter inch of fucking oil on the top.
We didn't do that.
Hashtag science.
Yeah. Yeah, nah, fucking, after these two shots, because we're sitting around a fire, right? Whatnot, and I fucking blacked out. Woke up the next morning, and after this event, I started having random memories back that made sense.
Yeah.
Or they could have just been in my imagination, I don't know. But I woke up the next morning getting shaken by my housemate because he finished work at 6 a.m. Shaking the fuck, saying, "Wake the fuck up. Look what you did to the fucking bathroom. Go clean that shit up right now."
Oh, was that night? Yeah, yeah, you've told me the story.
I'm hung the fuck over, right?
You forgot to mention there was homebrew absinthe involved, but...
Yeah, no, there was absinthe involved. And, yeah, I had my pajama bottoms and tops fucking mixed and matched. Fucking buttons crooked. I walked into the bathroom. My clothes were at the foot of the toilet in a pile of fucking ash. There was water from floor to wall to roof. The fucking shower head was in the sink. It was just fucking mess, man.
Nice.
And then, yeah, I vaguely remember fucking falling over in the shower and smashing me fucking nose. falling off the fucking 6-foot back fence into the ground on my face. And, getting that drunk and stumbling home, I fell through the fucking fire. Like, it wasn't a blaze or anything. It was just going out, but I fell through the fucking...
Oh, man, I've got some absinthe stories. You know, this week I might go fucking get a bottle. Just so we can actually fucking put them in the reviews where they belong.
In the back.
In the back. So, let's fucking get back on track with the devil's cut.
Sorry to fucking...
No, that's all right, bro. That's all right. So, I think we've already discussed the nose.
The scent.
So let's fucking down the hatch with it.
Down the hatch. Cheers.
Sarge. Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'll put hair on your fucking nuts.
Fuck, that lingers, doesn't it?
Does linger a bit. It's not bad, though. It's not bad.
It's not bad, but it's not comfortable.
It's still got that fucking... It's still got that Jim Beam sort of fucking abrupt kick at the end of it. I wouldn't say kick, but the thing I've got with Jim Beam, right, is it's like this, just this wall of fucking nastiness right at the very fucking end. Like, it doesn't really go anywhere, but it fucking hangs around. Mm. And that's my biggest problem with it. I just don't fucking like it. You know what I mean? You can have a smooth fucking bourbon, which we've tried a couple of.
Yeah.
But it's still got that fucking horrible fucking kick at the back of the fucking tonsils that I just don't fucking like. You know what I mean?
Mine's just all taste. It just lingers and fucking... Can't really put my finger on what it tastes like, but it's just harsh.
Yeah, like, I mean, you can definitely taste the oak in it. Mm. It has got a very sort of fucking oaky fucking taste about it, which I do enjoy.
A little bit bitter as well.
It is a little bit bitter, but I find it to be rather creamy for a bourbon. You know what I mean? Like, it's a very full fucking feeling in the mouth, you know? I do enjoy that about it. You know what I mean? If it wasn't for that Jim Beam fucking signature, you know, kick to the fucking tonsil, it'd be a fucking brilliant bourbon. Like, I'd fucking drink it all the time, especially for the price of it, you know? It's just... Because it is a rather fucking complex little fucking bit of gear when you really fucking get down to it. It's fucking quite nice, but I just can't get past that Jimmy Beam fucking fuck around. You know what I mean? So, what are you going to give it, dude?
I'll give this one an A-. Straight up. No fucking around.
Yeah, actually, bang on with that, I reckon. Fucking A-. It probably would be about a B+ or a B for me, but that extra fucking proofing for the price certainly gets it over the fucking line and gets it into the A region for me.
Very nice.
So, there are our booze reviews for this fucking week. Like I said, we got a huge show this week, man. We got absolutely massive. So, let's not fuck around. We'll get straight into it. So, first up, we got the Mortal...
Oh, hang on. Wait a minute.
Hang on. We're, you fuck.
It's time for a boo shootout.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
I'm fucking serious.
All right. So,
I'm
what's the shootout?
Serious right now.
All right.
So, the shootout this week, which we haven't had one for a while. And
no,
I thought
we haven't, actually.
Well overdue. We got Buffalo Trace, Maker's Mark, and I'm going to chuck in your fucking Devil's Cut.
Oh, are ya?
Yes, I am.
Oh, it's a good thing I fucking had some left then, wasn't it?
That's right. Well, I didn't fucking tell ya.
Shit. All right, well, hang on. Let me just fucking bust out my bottle again.
Do you need to get your fucking... The rating system all up and ready, or...? Do we need to pause it?
Oh, we might have to actually pause it, to be honest. And we're back. So that's what you get for fucking springing this shit on me all of a fucking sudden.
I'm sorry.
Bastard.
Fuck it.
All right. So I've brought everything up. To look at our original fucking reviews and the original ratings they got, Maker's Mark got an A- from both of us. Actually, this is really surprising. All three of these got a unanimous verdict. So
yeah, I know. I just said that.
That's really cool. It doesn't happen all that often. Buffalo Trace got a B+ all around. And the Devils got an original rating of, well, original rating. It just got rated at fucking A-. Now, the ABV of the Makers was 40%, if I remember correctly. The Buffalo was also 40%.
Yep.
And the Devil's Cut is 45. So, 1 out of 5, what are you going to give the Makers for the ABV? Well, and the Buffalo, I suppose, because it's the same fucking thing.
Oh.
Give it a 3, it's a standard fucking...
Yeah, I'm going to have to give it a 3.
And
three standard.
And what do you give the Devils for the ABV?
I'll give it a 4. Just above standard.
Yeah. No, I agree with all of that, so... Yeah. Next up is the colour. Let's have a look at the colour of these bad boys.
Makers and Buffalo are pretty fucking similar, hey?
Yeah, they are. They're both sort of rather fucking clear. Or clear as fucking bourbon ever really gets.
No, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say. So they're both sort of that.
Maker's is a little bit duller than the Buffalo. Buffalo's very golden.
It is very golden, whereas the Makers, I call it more of a caramel, and the Devils, well.
That's just like more of a fucking... Fucked if I know.
Oh, it just looks beautiful, doesn't it? It looks beautiful.
If you say so.
I do. So which one of those do you really prefer? You know what I mean? Like, which one do you feel sums up a mighty fine sort of bourbon?
Bourbons tend to be a lot darker than everything else. So I'm going to have to go with the Devils.
Going to have to go with the Devils? Okay,
I'll
so...
I'll give it a 4.
Going to give it a 4 for the Devils?
Yeah.
And,
and I'll give the other two a 3 again.
So 3-3-4 right across the board.
3-3-4.
Okay. Cool. So at the moment, the Devils is actually up by 2 points. Oh, I should mention these are out of a possible 5 points that they're going to get. So let's get down to the nuts and bolts of it, man. Let's get into the nays. So we'll go with the Buffaloes first.
Doesn't that smell sweet?
Doesn't it? It's.
I love it.
I think I said it in the original time. The Buffalo's got this real sort of fucking...
golden syrup.
That's syrup. Almost molasses type fucking scent about it. Onto the Makers.
Doesn't really have all that much, eh?
Yeah, it's a rather subdued sort of scent. It's about all you can really fucking say about it, you know what I mean? There's a definite fucking hint of the fucking ethanol in the Makers that isn't really present in the fucking Buffalo, which is really surprising considering they're the same sort of fucking ABV, and The Devils, not that I should need fucking reminding, but
you can smell it in the Devils.
It's but it's got that.
It's
fucking,
got both. It's got a mixture of both.
But it's got a real woody sort of fucking oaky sort of scent to it as well. You know what I mean? Like it really comes through. I really do like it. So what do you give the makers for the scent?
I'll give the makers a 3.
You give the makers a 3. What do you give the Buffalo?
I'll give that a 5. I love it.
You give it a 5.
Fucking A.
And what do you give the Devils?
I'll give it a 4.
You give it a 4. Yeah.
It's still got that fucking that kick to the back of the tonsils that you were talking about, but on the nose for me. It's not. Yeah, I'm just gonna leave it at that.
Yeah, look, I find with the makers, especially because it has got that fucking weird ass little ethanol and subdued sort of smell. Look, man, I'm gonna give that one a 2. It's not something that fucking really jumps out at me. I mean, it is a nice bourbon, don't get me wrong.
Doesn't tickle your whiskers.
Just doesn't. I do like the Buffalo, I've got to say. I really fucking enjoy the sheer scent of the fucking Buffalo. So, I'm going to give it a 5, to be honest. And as much... I love the Devil's scent. Like, I love that fucking nice, heavy, fucking heady sort of fucking oakiness about it.
See, to be honest, Devil's Cut's what bourbon's supposed to be.
It does. It does smell like a fucking fine fucking bourbon. You know what I mean? Like you got to give Jim Beam one thing. They know how to really craft a bourbon. And it's just on their taste. Look, I still prefer the Buffalo, so I'm going to give that one a 4. 4 to scent.
Down for the taste, though.
Down for the fucking taste.
Well, first.
We'll go the makers first.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. I could see why it got a fucking... oh, no, that got an A minus.
Did it?
Yeah. I don't know about that, eh?
You know what that reminds me of?
What?
Johnny Walker.
It does a little, doesn't it? That's...
Just to clarify, fucking, you and I aren't big fans of Johnny Walker.
No, and the repeat on it.
Isn't it? That's not at all what I fucking remember.
No, neither do I. Neither do I. Fuck, what do you give that?
Out of 5?
Out of 5.
I'm going to give that a 2.
Yeah, look, fuck, I'm fucking probably going to agree there. That didn't really tickle my fancy fucking at all, to be honest.
I think I'm going to need to chase a 2.
Clear the fucking palate. I tell you what, you know your mustache is getting it long when you start to get it stuck between your teeth.
For fuck's sake.
Might be time for a bit of fucking maintenance, I think.
Nah, fuck it. Just part it like everyone else does.
No, well, I do, but it's the one fucking concession I've always made. I've got to trim it. Like, I can't pull off the big bushy fucking mustache. I just can't do it. I've got to keep that fucking, you know, above the lip where it fucking belongs.
Down to the Buffalo.
Fuck, that's nasty. All right, let's get into the Buffalo.
I need a second.
Yeah,
I can still feel the makers going down. Here.
Oh,
all right,
let's do it. See, that's better. That's much better. Smooth. It's got that hint of sweetness, that molasses smell that you get.
That's a bit creamier than the fucking Devil's, I reckon.
That is fucking rather enjoyable. Like, I do enjoy that, especially compared it to his little friend fucking Makers over there that can just fucking sit in the corner and fuck go home. It is rather creamy, and that molasses scent, that while it smells really good, can sometimes translate into a sickly sweet sort of taste.
Yeah, it can.
Doesn't fucking carry over. There's enough sweetness to make you enjoy it and remind you that you're drinking a rather fine fucking bourbon from people who know what they're doing. What do you give it? 1 out of 5.
I'm going to give it a 4.
You're going to give it a 4. Yeah, no, look, I'm actually probably going to give that a 5, hey?
Oh.
I really do fucking enjoy it. It's quite fucking nice. So... Hang on, palate cleanser. Fuck, it's going to be one of them shows. I'm already getting mush mouth.
You're only just trying to sleep. Where's the shit? Poor Dan.
I have oral dyslexia. All my words get mixed around. Pewisms, I think they call them.
What?
Pewisms.
Pewisms.
I think. I don't know. There was a dude who used to do it all the time. He'd mix his fucking letters and sounds up. Let's fucking... I'm a little bit scared. Let's do it.
Okay. Fuck my life. Cheers.
I think.
That was a question. Not a statement.
Look, like I said, man, the devil's cut is nice. I've got to give it that. Especially seeing as that ABV doesn't really fucking hold much fucking sway.
No.
You know, past the tongue and down the tonsils, it doesn't really burn, but the Buffalo's got just that teensy little bit more of a fucking flavour to it that I like, you know what I mean? Like I said, devil's cut was creamy, and I stand by that. It is an almost creamy sort of full... mouthfeel, but the Buffalo almost tastes like a mighty fine fucking scotch, just sweeter. You know what I mean? It is actually fucking creamy. It feels like velvet in your mouth.
Whereas the Maker's is like a dirty scotch.
Yeah, that's really fucking shocked me, hey.
It's odd because I tend to drink Maker's when I'm out.
Yeah, exactly.
And now that I've drank these two with it, it kind of... puts it into perspective.
It does put it in a fucking bit of perspective. That's really fucking shocking. I'm a little bit fucking flabbergasted. So, on the taste, bro, what you give it?
I'm going to give that one a 3.
You're going to give it a 3?
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 4, because I really do fucking enjoy it. It's just, the Buffalo's, I just like that just a little bit better.
Maybe I needed more time between shots.
Yeah, see, I don't have that problem. Thank goodness I can fucking... reset the register pretty quick, so it might be because I'm a smoker, so you know, half my mouth's dead anyway, so
yeah, probably.
On the price scale, do you remember what your Makers and your Buffalo cost? I believe the Buffalo's was the most expensive. I think it was just a touch over 50. So what were the prices? Sorry,
fucking Buffalo was around about 50-ish. Maker's is about 40. And I think Devil's is about halfway.
The Devil's was about 42, 43, yeah. So to turn that into some ratings in regards to the price compared to the general fucking experience, which I think is what I mean by price. I've got price written down on my little tabulation here, but I think what I mean is, you know, the general experience compared to the price.
Oh, okay.
So, 1 out of 5, what are you going to give the Makers, bro?
I'm going to give it... 4.
What are you going to give the Buffalo?
I'll give it a 4 too.
What about the Devil's Cut?
I'll give it a 5.
You're going to give it a 5?
Yep.
Alright, so with the Makers... for the price of it and what I can get for around the same price, I'm going to give it a 2.
Oh, dang.
The Buffalo, like, it is a rather nice fucking whiskey. But being the most expensive, being about 45, you know, I'll give it a 3. Not a 33, a 3. And the Devil's Cut, yeah, no, look, I'm going to give it a 5 too, so... Let me just have a quick look at the tabulations. The Maker's Mark, I think, is going to come in third place with a total score of 27 out of a possible 50 points.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was Why adding, 50?
Because there's 20. There's 5 categories of 5 points each, but there's 2 of us doing it. Coming in with the silver medal is Buffalo Trace Bourbon with a total score of 38 out of 50 fucking points available. And the winner by just a touch this week in the Bourbon World Beer Day Booze Shootout is the Devil's Cut with a total score of 41 out of 50 points. So it was almost the perfect fucking score. So that was our, I suppose, World Beer Day Booze Shootout.
Unscheduled inaugural booze shootout.
Yeah, why the fuck not? Cool.
Sorry to spring you spring that on you, but fuck
dude. So to get back on track with what is now, I'm sure it'll be one of those shows. And for everybody listening, I'm going to apologize now. I'm sorry, man. This is going to get messy. Mortal Kombat 10 got its fucking release date this week.
I'm excited. What's even better? Oh, well, not. Oh, no, actually, no. No, no, no. I was disappointed of what the pre-order content was.
Well, they've only released one fucking thing so far.
I pray to God that there's more.
Well, of course they're going to. They will. They're going to have to.
I know it's Ed Boon and he's fucking...
Oh, he
almost
been...
the king of fucking... misdirection.
No, the king of the tease. He's been teasing shit for fucking months now. So the release date was released as April 14, 2015. Hey, guess what you can get me for my birthday next year?
Hey, guess what?
Hey.
No.
Yeah, go on. with Goro being at the moment the only sort of pre-order bonus you get is Goro as a playable character, which just is fucking awesome. Although I hope they do a better job with him than they did in the last, the last couple that he was a playable character in, because he was one of those, you know, super strong couple punch kills, but he was so fucking slow. God damn it.
But isn't that the whole point?
Well, it was kind of the whole point. They were trying to even him out, but they kind of failed, as far as I was concerned. The thing that I really do like is even though it's been designed for the next gen cons, well, I suppose it's, you can't really call them next gen. Now, the Xbox One and the PS4, it's actually also coming out on the PS3 and the Xbox 360.
Thank fuck.
Which is good. Like, I fully plan to have one or both of the new consoles by then, but it's nice to know that if something happens and I don't, I can get it.
I've noticed it's a fucking trend now, because there's a lot of fucking diehard fans that stuck with the 360, like you and I.
Yeah.
They boycotted the fucking Xbox One.
And I will probably continue to boycott the Xbox One. Because
you and I both have pre-ordered the fucking Destiny PS4.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So there's a lot of people that did that, and vice versa. Like, people that loved the PS3 but didn't like the PS4, so they jumped on the fucking Xbox One.
Yeah.
So they're recognizing that, and I love it. Every other console upgrade that anyone's ever done is just completely cut them off.
And if you and that's the thing, if you stretch your mind back to when the 360 and the PS3 first came out, like, they kept supporting the PS2 and the original Xbox for a period of time, but there was none of this, you know, bullshit where games had come out on both consoles.
No,
both generations were catered for. It didn't happen. You know what I mean? It was fucking okay. This game is coming out on this console. Or this generation of console. This game's coming out on that generation of console. Like, they were good. They kept releasing games for the previous generation for about 12, 18 months, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Before they cut it.
See, I reckon they're just going to keep going as treat these as four next-gen consoles.
I reckon they might do it for about 12 months. Another 12 months. But, I mean, eventually, the architecture that you've got to work with these gaming consoles, because it's not like a PC, you know what I mean? Like, you can't chop and change. They make them that fucking difficult and different that you've really got to make your fucking choice and decision in the sand, so to speak.
Yeah.
So, you know, the fact that we've got, what, a good half a dozen games that are cross-generational is in of itself a fucking really amazing thing and a huge step in the right direction, and it's just a nod to, you know, the holdouts or all the people who can't necessarily afford to buy those new consoles straight the fuck away. You know what I mean? Because backwards capability just don't exist anymore. You know what I mean? Like, new generation of consoles have come out and said backwards compatibility doesn't exist. I mean, with the PS3... No, with
they
the
tried
PS,
it with the PS3 and
they,
PS2.
They tried it with the PS3, but I think it was the first generation, you know, the one that always has the problems.
Yeah.
So they fucked it off to, you know, cut down on price and size and all the rest of it. The PS2 was backwards compatible. The Xbox 360 is kind of backwards compatible. There are certain games that you can play on both consoles, but there's issues and shit like that. Because they go out of their way to make it so incredibly different. You know what I mean? Which is just the inevitable march of fucking progress. But the fact that you've got these developers that are putting them out on all these different consoles...
And fucking kudos to them.
Yeah, fuck like, yeah. You know what I mean? It's showing.
Thanks for catering for people that fucking A, either can't afford it, or B, refuse to get the fucking next gen.
Well, haven't come around to the next gen, or there's reasons why. You know what I mean? It's still. And I mean, the new consoles have been out for almost a year at this point.
Yeah, I think in like a month or two. They came out in November, didn't they?
It's somewhere around there, yeah. So yeah, like somewhere around the end of last year. So, and I mean, it's going to be almost 2.5 years by this point.
Mm.
Yet we're still getting games on old and new generation, so to speak, which is just, I'm fucking really happy. And you know what I'm really, really happy about?
What?
Same price across the board. Same price, $60 American. Across the board, doesn't matter what fucking brand you go, no matter what generation you get, you're going to pay the same price, the same fucking price.
You know what annoys me, though?
We're going to get the fucking Aussie tax.
No.
That annoys me.
No. This is something I brought up with you the other day. Fucking games that I bought, went out of my way and paid like $70 for 2 years ago, are coming out on gold for free.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's really smart fucking marketing on the Xbox, on Microsoft's part, because I'm telling you, that's a big fucking selling point for me, because I've borrowed like 3 games off you that I haven't touched, but I've borrowed them off you because I'm going to play them soon-ish, one day.
One of these days.
And then I've got them for free on Games for Gold.
Mm.
I have. The games I've borrowed off you, except for Aliens fucking... Colonial Marines, whatever the fuck it is.
That clusterfuck
of a game, which is a good game, don't get me wrong. Just
oh, it's a great game. It's just fucking frustrating as all cunt.
Yeah, that's the only one that hasn't come out. French. And I've no doubt that in the next fucking 2-3 months is going to come out. Like Halo 3's come out, Saint Rose 3 come out, Dishonored come out. That was the big
what's
shot.
What's the fucking newest one?
I don't know. It's this weird game. Oh, they had that motocross game come out. Motocross fucking X Trails, whatever the fuck it was.
What was it?
That was month before, well, last month. This month is some weird fucking crackbreaker, thieving fucking puzzle game, which is kind of weird and confusing.
Okay.
But even the deals for gold, man. Like, I love the Fallout series. I think that's pretty well documented here and other places. The fact that I could even just buy Fallout 3 for fucking, what was it, $5?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I've hired the game, I've played the game, I've got a save file on my Xbox for that game. But I was never quite committed to go spend the $30-$40 to go buy it. Now I've got it. And you know what I mean? Like, that's a big selling point for Microsoft. You know what I mean? Because they do the same thing on Xbox One.
Yeah.
It's just... And I mean, I know that Xbox One has fixed, you know, just about every fucking concern that fucked them over at last year's E3. But it's just left a bad taste in my mouth. You know what I mean? Like, and the fact that I'm going to have to fucking... It's going to take up an extra fucking bit of space because I can't fuck my Xbox 360 off.
See, that really that right hurts. There is a little contradictory because you've got PS4 coming.
No. I'm talking about my argument with the
Xbox One. Okay.
But getting back to Mortal Kombat, fucking 6 minutes of gameplay footage was released this year at PAX.
Yes.
Doesn't it look amazing? Doesn't
it what? Holy fucking shit. And how interactive is the environment?
Yeah, I mean, they experimented it with it a little bit with Mortal Kombat 9. They took it to...
Nowhere near the extent, nor...
And I mean, they took it to a next level with Injustice, but it feels and it looks like with Mortal Kombat 10, they've really owned how to make the interactive environment work.
So that's going to suck for people like me.
Why?
Because I tend to get frustrated sometimes on a button mash.
Yeah.
And it's just not going to fucking work out well. Not going to work out well at all.
And I mean, I remember when the trailer was released after, you know, the fucking weeks the of countdown. Fuck around from fucking Ed Boon on Twitter.
Noobd.
Yeah, noobdy. and fucking there was a lot of questions then, you know, is this gameplay, is this just a cinematic? And the first thing that struck me with this gameplay footage was just how fucking close in quality and fucking style to that trailer, the actual gameplay is, which is just fucking awesome.
And the fucking camera views and shit that happened during the gameplay is, it's, for lack of a better fucking phrase, unheard of.
Unseen. It is. It's a really good fucking commercial for the next generation of consoles, well, the now current, I suppose, generation of consoles that are
out there.
Yeah,
there's no next gen. There's current gen and last gen.
Yeah, I know. I'm still on the last gen, so fuck you. But you know what I mean? Like, the current generation and what is possible. You know what I mean? Because you look at the games that are out, I mean, they look okay. They look beautiful and all the rest of it. But this game really seems to be fucking taking the capabilities of the new generation or the current generation by the horns.
Fucking balls, hey.
And just bitch fucking it like a fucking prison fucking gangbang. You know what I mean? It's beautiful, man. You know what I mean? And this is gameplay. This isn't, you know, something they put together to look good. This is what it's going to look like while you're playing. You know what I mean? The loading screens look amazing. And the little fucking interaction at the start of the match is beautiful. You know what I mean? Like, you'd be able to skip it, I imagine. But why the fuck would you want to?
Yeah,
it just looks beautiful. It's stunning. I am fucking so excited for this game. Like, I was excited fucking regardless because it's Mortal Kombat. But from I nerdgasmed when I watched the fucking... I did, man. I had a full-on fucking nerdgasm. I just couldn't get over just how amazing and beautiful this fucking game was or is going to be. The fact that it's available on all four consoles is just fucking beautiful. And the price. You know what I mean? For a fucking AAA level game, $60 across the board, which means we'll get it for, well, I mean, we live in Australia. If we're doing straight exchange, probably about $75, but because we live in Australia, it's probably going to be about, I don't know, $500 fucking dollars. I don't.
Fucking
Aussie tax my ass. Fuck you. But you know what I mean. Like it's the uniformity in the price
because
it's going to take the same amount of work to make it, or more work to make it, more fucking effort to make it work on the fucking last gen than it is on the new gen because it's designed for new gen, but they're making it work on the old gen. Is the fact that they're keeping it the same price is just great. It's just great.
Fucking fantastic.
It's fan-fucking-tastic. So, that's about all the gaming news I've got.
I've got nothing other than the fucking...
Destiny comes out, what, this week?
By the time this comes out, it's a day... We're a day behind.
Day ahead.
Day behind. Oh, in Australia, it comes out on the 9th, and this will get released on the fucking 10th.
Ish around.
People will take
somewhere around there. We're gonna move on. We've got to keep moving on. We're gonna try and get this shit back on the fucking tracks because fuck, massive show because we missed the show last week. You know
we did.
Do you like Guy Ritchie movies?
Guy Ritchie,
you know, Snatch, fucking Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels, Rock and Roller.
Yeah.
Would you like to see Guy Ritchie make a fucking King Arthur movie?
It'd be interesting. Yeah,
he's making one.
Nice.
He is fucking making a fucking King Arthur movie, and you know who the fuck is going to be King Arthur?
King Arthur?
King Arthur? No, yeah.
Arthur.
Fucking
Arthur's going to be King Arthur.
No, Charlie Hunnam from fucking Sons of Anarchy is going to play fucking King Arthur.
Who's Charlie Hunnam? I don't watch Sons of Anarchy.
Oh my fucking sweet. Pac Rim. You know Pac Rim?
Yeah.
The lead from that?
Yeah.
You know, the guy who lost his brother and then...
Oh, no shit.
Only two fucking dudes to fucking operate a Jaeger by himself.
Yeah,
him.
And then he had to try and do it with that chick, and she fucking had a brain spasm. Fart.
Yeah. Yeah, no. He is fucking going to be King Arthur in a Guy Ritchie fucking King Arthur movie.
Nice. That's going to be confusing as fuck.
Is fucking awesome. I can just fucking see it now. All the fucking dopey fucking music. Jason Statham's going to turn up there somewhere. Fucking, he's got to, man. He's got to, right?
And fucking, Oh, what's his face? He was in fucking all the Guy Ritchie movies. He was in Snatch and
The Ringer. Cockneys
versus Zombies.
Yeah, The Ringer. The old dude. Guy.
Fucking,
old
what's guy, his name?
I don't know. I don't care. I'm fucking moving the fuck on.
Fuck you.
But yeah,
him and Jason Statham are going to make an appearance.
Just a little bit of fucking fast and true trivia. Toby Kebbell got his start on a Guy Ritchie movie.
Nice.
The guy who played fucking Patches the fucking ape in the new Rise of the Planet of the Apes movie.
Yeah, okay, that narrows it down.
Yeah. Really good for a visual podcast, but I'm currently flipping.
Don't flip me the bird, motherfucker.
Yeah, he's what you get.
You're lucky you're on the double side.
Boo shootout after fucking hell. Fucking goddamn it. Idris Elba signed on to star. He's heavily rumored to be playing Merlin.
Nice.
Which would be cool.
Merlin,
Black Merlin. That'd be awesome. I mean, Idris Elba's just fucking awesome anyway, so, you know. Elizabeth Olsen, who was in Godzilla, and she's also in the upcoming Age of Ultron. Yeah, the new Godzilla. She's also in talks probably to play Guinevere, I would imagine. It's written by J.B. Howard, who wrote Edge of Tomorrow and another movie called Awake.
You know they're changing the Edge of Tomorrow?
Oh, how they
Kill,
changed
Die,
it.
Repeat?
Yeah, they changed the fucking title from the fucking cinematic to the DVD release.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid. Because Edge of Tomorrow is a title, right? And underneath the fucking little...
The subtitle, the tagline.
The subtitle, yeah, is Kill, Die, Repeat.
Which is what they wanted to call the movie originally,
and what they're fucking doing with the DVD release is they're switching it.
Yeah, that's going to make it hard for them to fucking... Like, it didn't do too well at the cinemas.
Yeah, that's why they're trying to fucking...
But to change the
fucking
title is just going to make it worse, not better, which I think is their goal.
To be honest, Kill, Die, Repeat sounds a lot shitter than Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah, Edge of Tomorrow sounds awesome.
Don't know.
You know what I mean? Whereas Kill, Die, Repeat just sounds like some schlocky fucking B-grade bullshit.
Don't know. It sounds like a B-grade fucking Lawnmower Man slash Transcendence.
Shut your mouth. I like those movies, both of them.
I said a B-grade version.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah.
Not them movies themselves.
So
they were great movies.
It's also produced by Akiva Goldsman, who did I Am Legend, I, Robot, A Beautiful Mind. Okay. Toby Tunnell, who previously produced one of the movies that the writer was working on. And it's already got a release date of 22nd of July 2016 by Warner Brothers.
Nice.
I just wanted to bring that up real quick. Like, I mean, it's old news now. This is at least fucking 2.5-3 weeks old. But fuck yeah, man. Like, Guy Ritchie, King Arthur, I could just see it. I'm going to put some music in from one of the soundtracks. And we're just going to bob our head and imagine.
Okay.
Theater of the Mind. Fucking. You know what I mean? Imagine that. And they're all sitting around. And they're like, all right, so here's what we're going to do, right? We're going to ride out the Camelot. We're going to go find that fucking golden fucking holy fucking grail. We're going to come back and we're going to go fucking lock up and get drunk. Fuck. Yeah. One of the lines, one of the most fucking, the movie line I quote more than anything else is, can we lock up and get drunk now, please? It is. I use that fucking just about every fucking day when I've had enough of shit. I'm like, fuck it. I'm locking up. I'm getting drunk. I'm done. Yeah, no, sorry. What else happened in the world of Hollywood today?
In the world of not necessarily today, but in the last week.
Well, last 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Well, fucking, for like the last month, there's been rumors going around that fucking Dwayne Johnson.
Few months.
That have been...
Can you smell what the Rock is cooking? Well, no, I can't, because he keeps showing me the fumes and he ain't showing me what's on the fucking grill.
Well, he's proper fucking showed us what's on the grill, and he's going to be Black Adam. There was a toss-up between Black Adam and Shazam, and either I could have fucking went for.
Well, it makes more sense for him to be Black Adam. You don't cast him to be half a role. You know what I mean? Like, but Shazam is a kid who turns into this big beefy dude.
Yeah.
Well, then you got Black Adam, who, every time you see him, he's a big beefy dude. You don't really delve into the world of Black Adam when he's
they could have done what
kid.
They did with Chris Evans with Captain America. They could have had him as a scrawny little fucking McFuck and turned into Dwayne Johnson. And then keep being fucking Shazam throughout the rest of the fucking Universal movies.
I like him better as Black Adam.
Well,
I mean, when I was watching wrestling, he was always like the fucking bad guy anyway, so, you know.
Not necessarily.
No, I know. He had his moments where he was a heel and all the rest of it, but I liked him when he was the villain.
He was always the fucking...
douchebag?
No, he was always the defiant one.
Yeah.
The one that just said, fuck you, I'm going to do it my way or there's no fucking way.
Arrogant.
Not necessarily.
Fuck y'all, not necessarily.
Wrestling is theatrical. It's not real.
Is theatrical. But what my point is, with the context of wrestling being theatrical, is he always played the better asshole than he did the kind-hearted soul.
Yeah, all right. I'll pay that.
Thank you.
The way you worded it, yeah.
Thank you. He plays a better fucking self-absorbed prick who does bad things, and he does the fucking good guy. I point you towards the Tooth Fairy and Journey to the Center of... Journey to the Mysterious Island, sorry.
Mysterious Island I liked.
I liked it, but you know what I mean? Like,
the Tooth Fairy, I'm not the biggest fan of.
He plays a better fucking villain than he does a good guy. That's all I'm saying.
Not necessarily a
Why
villain.
Why the fuck
a
you
badass.
Fight me on this, bitch?
No, he plays a badass good. Not necessarily a villain. Because fucking... What's the... Fucking... The Scorpion King. He was a badass, but not a villain. Fucking Fast and Furious 5 and 6. He was a badass, but not a villain.
Hercules, he just plays a douche.
Hercules, he plays the fucking...
A douche.
Half god son of fucking Zeus.
Who, a douche.
What, we haven't seen it yet. How do you know he plays a douche?
Because I've seen...
He could own that fucking role.
I'm sure he does own that role, but he's a douche.
No, I'm a fan.
I'm a fan
fucking
too.
Welcome
don't
to
get
the,
me wrong.
Welcome to the Jungle. He plays a badass.
Welcome to the
fucking,
Jungle is fucking one of my favorite fucking
yeah.
Dwayne Johnson movies of all fucking time.
Plays
it is
a badass, not
amazing.
A villain.
You know what I mean? He's still trying to find his footing as a fucking actor. He's just
no. You know where he was? He fucked up.
What
Doom?
Oh fucking! I'd blocked that movie from my memory. Thanks for that.
It was way overplayed. He's not one for swearing. He swore his fucking head off in that fucking movie. Nah. That I think even that was worse than The Scorpion King, one of his very first fucking movie.
I think it was his
second. Doom I liked. I loved the fucking movie, and I loved how the best bit was when they fucking went first-person shooter.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Yeah, right. They waited till the end of the fucking movie to do it, but...
Why not?
It was cool.
That was the fucking... The high point of the movie, where he wakes up and he's like, fuck you, I didn't turn into a fucked up zombie-looking fucking monster. I'm gonna fuck everyone up.
And then at the end, he turned into a fucking fucked up little zombie monster.
No, he didn't.
I'm sure he did.
No, he got beamed back to fucking Earth. No, because he had his sister in his arms. And that's where it fucking...
Yeah, he did.
Finished. okay.
So we're gonna move from...
So no. Anyway, the people that don't know Black Adam, fucking he's... what was he? He was an Egyptian king. And
probably had a beard.
He originally was the fucking opposition to Captain Marvel. And for some reason, Shazam thought... It was awesome to turn him into and give him powers of like similar to Shazam.
Well, why not?
And then now he's just like a fucking he is the bad guy and thinks that everyone's futile and because he's got all these powers, he's like
resistance is useless.
Well, he's like Loki in the fact that he thinks all humans are fucking
now.
Like ants.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's got that megalomaniac sort of fucking bent to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
So yeah, I reckon he'll pull it off. He's got it.
Oh, he'll pull it off. He's a good fucking actor. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everybody can shit on him for being a wrestler, but like you said, it's a highly theatrical fucking performance, and he does very well.
Look, I loved him as a wrestler. He was third generation wrestler, I do believe.
Something like that, yeah.
And he loved him as a wrestler. Fucking grew up with that shit. Between him and fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin, they fucking owned that shit. And The Undertaker.
I just got one question for you.
What?
Can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
Fuck you.
Hey, it's World Beard Day today.
Fucking World Beard Day.
I completely forgot about this. It is. Well, I didn't forget it was World Beard Day, but I forgot this whole fucking segment that I had planned for World Beard Day. If you are a follower on Twitter, you would have noticed over the last week or so, I've been doing a bit of a countdown.
Mm.
Some of our favorite beards in the world of beards and you know, a couple of different categories, you know, real life beards, sci-fi beards, fantasy beards, fucking music beards, which is a late addition. And I'm actually going to fucking, we'll talk about World Beard Day itself fucking in just a sec. But I promised on Twitter that if you listen to this episode, I would tell you our number one beards of all time with these certain little fucking characteristics. So we may as well start at the top. The number one real world beard. I got to give it to Jack Passion. Jack Passion is, and I've just got to double check how many times, he is a world winning fucking champion. World beard champion. He has won the full beard natural category at the World Beard and Mustache Championship. Several fucking times. I think, what's that? One, two, three, four times? Nice. Four times, I think. I'm pretty sure he's won it. He won it at the tender age of 23. He's also a musician, an author, an entrepreneur. And he's also on the... he's actually on a television show at the moment called Whisker Wars, which is all about beards and shit, you know. So, mate, he's got a beard that's just... Oh, it's just beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. So he has retired from beard competition. And there's rumours. There's all these rumours. This heresy that he's actually shaved his beard. But no pictures have fucking turned up yet. The sci-fi beard, I'm going to leave till last because there's a bit of fucking dissension in the ranks about that. Fantasy beard, I'm giving to Elminster the Mage. Okay, so you remember Dungeons & Dragons? Right, so in Dungeons & Dragons, one of the most popular fucking settings to play is the Forgotten Realms. Right, it's the main one people normally think of. It was created by a fellow by the name of Ed Greenwood. Also himself turned up in the list because he's got a cracking fucking beard. And the way Ed Greenwood used to hang everything together, especially before it became an actual setting, it was just stories he used to submit, is they were centered around Elminster the Mage. It's about fucking, I don't know, 10 fucking books odd, based around this mage, this fucking archmage, this supreme fucking mage, the representation of the goddess of magic on this fucking Forgotten Realms. And his beard is lush. It is lush. It is the epitome of a wizard fucking beard. So, my friend, better than Merlin's. Makes Merlin's beard look like a bit of bum pluff on a 5 o'clock fucking shade. So, Elminster the Mage gets our fantasy beard number one. Now, I am going to delve into the sci-fi beard because our music beard is going to, of course, have a bit of fucking songage involved. The sci-fi beard. There was a bit of fucking argument about this.
There was.
So, why don't you... Okay, here's the two choices we had. It came down to Obi-Wan Kenobi and fucking Chewbacca. Who do you want to see own the sci-fi number one spot? Do you want to see Obi-Wan Kenobi or Chewie? Give us a reply. Give us a response on the Facebook or the Twitter. Best response will get, fuck it, a six-pack on us. Hit us up. You can hit us up on Twitter at drunkbeardman.com. You can hit us up on the Facebook, thedrunkenbeardsman.com. Or you can Or you can pop along to the website, www.thedrunkenbeardsman.com. Go along to our contact page, fill out the form, send it to us. Or if you don't want to do that, fuck, send us an email, mailbag at thedrunkenbeardsman.com. Let us know. The best person with the best response will get a six-pack onto the Drunken Beardsman. I don't give a fuck where you live. I'll send it to you with my compliments. Or a nice bottle of fucking something. I don't know. Specify what you prefer to drink and I'll fucking take that into consideration. So the last category of the bearded countdown for World's Beard Day, which I'm pretty sure is the music category.
Yeah.
It was just I couldn't find seven full complete fucking bands that I would like to fucking put my shit behind. So, you know, I had Canned Heat, even though, the owl sort of doesn't, he's kind of clean shaven. And then there was ZZ Top, even though our mate's got a mustache, so, yeah, but Billy Gibbons and the other fella have just gone, oh, luscious. But, of course, the number one, you can't be surprised, is, of course, the beards. Not only does every single member of this group have beautiful, luscious beards, they sing exclusively about beards. And I am pretty sure that this event, this World Beard Day, that is only about 4 years old, is started by the beards or somebody tangentially connected to the beards. Because, I mean, it took me a little bit of work because it has only been around since 2010, right? This World Beard Day. You go to the website, it's got artwork very similar to some of the beards' earlier shit. You go to history, you pop along to the history, and it just doesn't have anything about the World Beard Day, so I've just got a couple of, you know, funny little fucking anecdotes, you know, such as in southern Spain, many townships will gather to witness a boxing match between a bearded man and a beardless boy. The bearded man, normally armed with a sharp spike, is typically the victor. Or, in the Swedish village of Dongsborg, anyone without a beard is banished from the town and forced to spend 24 hours in a nearby forest. Back in town, the hirsute burn effigies of their clean-shaven loved ones. But it does give you this one little fact. The exact origins of World Beard Day are unknown. But there is some evidence to suggest that Danish Vikings had a special day dedicated to the glorification of beards as far back as 800 AD. The event was not held on a fixed date. It was often celebrated hundreds of times each year. This incarnation of what would one day become World Beard Day typically involved the ransacking of neighbouring towns, villages and countries by large groups of heavily armoured bearded men. Throughout the world, bearded communities are encouraged to acknowledge this sacred day by organising and staging their own public or private World Beard Day celebrations, which is what we're doing tonight, goddammit. These can consist of anything from a relaxing family lunch to a lavish, taxpayer-funded street parade. And of course, shaving on World Beard Day is universally considered to be highly disrespectful. But go along to the Facebook page, you pop along down to the very first few posts, you will notice, A, whoever the fuck it is, this is an Australian-originated fucking thing, for starters. Second of all, first two posts involve pictures of the Beards members. Nice. I would not be surprised if this is some fucking thing by the Beards, but you know what? I don't care. It's gathering an international following. Good. With just about 20,000 people, at least on Facebook, supporting and liking the World Beard Day, even if peak beard has been achieved, I can't see this particular holiday going away. So, you know, if it is the Beards who started this, thank you, man.
Fucking high five to you all.
And just to high five you with my fucking beard. I will high beard you, bitch. So, to just highlight how awesome the Beards actually are, I'm going to play you a cover sung by the Beards. And the song they're covering is by a bearded group. It is, of course, Well Dressed Man by the Beards.
About a sharp-dressed man, oh yeah, oh yeah. Gold watch, diamond ring, I ain't missing not a single thing. Cuff links, stick pin, when I step out I'm gonna do you in. They come around and just as fast as they can. Beards. Man, I like beards.
So that was the Beards singing a very great ZZ Top song, and don't they do it so well? I mean, they really, really fucking do. So, to end tonight off, if we can get through it, it's time to talk about Defiance.
Defiance.
So, season 2 of Defiance, yeah, no, fuck you. Defiance season 2 ended on TV. This little hiatus that we had.
Oh, it would have ended like, what, a week and a half ago by now?
Yeah, about a week and a half ago, yeah.
What did you reckon? I loved it.
I loved it, man. It was, once again, fucking brilliant. It really fucking was. Like, season 1 was a great fucking series. It was a great fucking show.
Mm.
Season 2, the whole fucking tagline was, you know, darkness is coming. It's going to be a darker series, you know, blah, 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 blah. We've set the characters up in season 1. Now it's time to get, you know, back into it. It kind of shat me that all the changes that happened by the end of season 1 got pretty much reversed by, I don't know, the fourth episode of season 2. Like,
not necessarily it reversed, will... but it just... They didn't... Yeah...
Everything changed, you know what I mean? Like, the mayor wasn't the mayor anymore.
Yeah, the mayor wasn't the mayor. The law keeper wasn't gone.
The law keeper. The fucking... This happened, that happened.
Fucking Irissa's got this fucking fucked up fucking goddess,
the
I guess.
The Kaziri fucking...
Yeah.
Fucking...
And she's gone fucking AWOL.
You know, everything was so fucking drastically changed. And then by... They spent the first 3 or 4 episodes putting everything back how it was.
Which... Like, did you notice that? I get that they did what they did because they wanted to...
Maintain the status quo.
Yeah, they wanted to bring it back to Defiance. Defiance isn't Defiance without Defiance, so to speak.
Defiance is the people, not the town.
But you can't have Defiance the people without Defiance the town. It's just fucking weird. And it just wouldn't happen. Because they established it too well in the first series.
Yeah.
First season, sorry.
Yeah, and then they just went and fucked everything up by the end of it. You know what I mean? Like, the last two episodes was just everybody's fucking gone their own separate ways. It's all fucking doom and gloom and blah.
I would have loved a little bit more exploration through the world to see what other terraforming fucking shit that happened and whatnot.
Oh, you're talking about right at the end. Okay, so the main fucking story arc of this season is one of the main characters...
Irissa,
who is, you know, one of these alien fucking adopted fucking daughter of, who's played by Stephanie Leonidas?
Yep.
I think that's how you pronounce that. She's, you know, made this deal with the devil, so to speak. They've, you know, the whole arc of the first season was, well, one of the tangential arcs was that there was this ancient fucking alien craft buried underneath Defiance.
Mm.
And towards the end of it, you know, she finds it and she makes a deal with the... This supposed at the time god,
this being,
to save really? Her fucking adopted dad in exchange for fuck knows what. So the whole of season 2 deals with the consequences of making that deal and trying to get everything back on the fucking track.
Mm.
So it turns out that this god she made fucking a pact with was in fact the artificial intelligence of this ship, you know what I mean, because the Voltaines are all up in their AI and shit like that.
Yeah.
So this ship, the Kaziri, its whole basic premise was way back, way back, hundreds of years before the Voltaines actually turned up. Its whole goal was to terraform planet Earth into an environment that the Voltaines could thrive on. You know what I mean? Kind of like a fucking a fucking get kit from Fallout. You know what I mean? Garden of Eden creation kit.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why when they turned up, nothing was how it was, and hence the Pale was, which was really good. I liked how it sort of fucking tied into why the Voltaines picked that planet in particular to turn up to, and why there was the big fucking war and fucking bloody, 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 blah.
Mm.
If everything worked out the way it was meant to, it wouldn't be a problem. They'd just turn up to this sick planet that was like home.
Yeah, pretty well. And there'd be no humans.
No life of any form that wasn't Voltaire.
Yeah.
So, it got real dark. I mean, we got to see if you'd played the game, you know, the Earth Republic, which is one of the main factions of the Defiance universe. You know, in the game, they're good guys, I suppose you'd call them.
For now.
Well, they're essentially good guys. You know what I mean? Like, they're the overarching fucking military of the remainder of Earth.
Yep.
Whereas in Defiance, the series, you know, there's a lot. It's a big difference. You know, they're not so much evil, but, you know, Defiance is this fucking...
The members that you see of the E-Rep aren't necessarily good guys, and they portray E-Rep as a whole as deceptive and bad.
Yeah, and really. I mean, put into context of this Western frontier town, which is basically what Defiance is. Yeah. It's a sci-fi Western. You don't want the man turning up to fuck what you got.
No.
Which is what they do, you know what I mean? What they've done this whole fucking season and the end of last fucking season. So, you know, and to have this you know, rogue fucking AI fucking thing trying to, you know, swing shit towards the Voltans. And it was dark. Like, that's what I took from it. Overall, it was a very fucking dark season, which I loved.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I absolutely loved it. Shit got fucking real, you know what I mean? There was fucking clones. Nobody was really the good guy. We got to see the, you know, the hinted at fucking side of Doc Yule, who's just like this, one of the alien fucking doctors who had a pretty colourful wartime fucking past. It was good to see that she wasn't this, you know, fully repentant type of fucking character. She was still rather fucking hooked up in her fucking science and fucking, you know what I mean? Like, there was a lot of fucking times during the season where I hated that bitch. And she was
by far
one of my favorite characters. She still is probably my favorite character out of the whole series because she's complex. You know what I mean? She's a very pragmatic fucking character who lost
the
finger.
Look at the fact where fucking... Like, she's lost a finger. She's fucking been in the Pale Wars. She's fucking cloned... Well, not necessarily cloned, but turned another indigent into what was... what's the fucking name? Kenya. Yeah. And she's got a faulty ego that keeps bringing up her past partner and whatnot.
And she sticks with it right up till the end. Until it gets hacked, she's quite happy living with the fucking, you know, the hallucination that is her fucking partner.
Yeah, it brings her that down to earth and that little bit of peace.
Yeah, it gives her the peace because, you know, her partner committed suicide because what they were doing was wrong. Her moral compass, she kept right up until it got hacked by this alien fucking technology.
Mm.
You know, which is just fucking amazing. And I'll tell you what. The standout fucking storyline through this whole fucking season two was the Tar family.
Fucking A right.
You know what I mean? Like, I think I even posted on Twitter.
In particular, fucking Christy.
Yeah. The story, the development of fucking Christy, fucking Alak, fucking Starmer, and to a lesser extent...
Daytac
was just... That was by far the most... The only thing I really cared about. Oh, well, not only cared about, but it was by far the highlight of this fucking season. The development and the story where with that whole fucking mismatch fucking, you know, biracial fucking family was just beautiful to watch.
Interspecial, really.
Interspecial, that's the one, yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that she's making such a commitment to try and be...
Casty.
Yeah, as much like Starmer as possible. And to be fair, no one wants to be dating their mother, really.
But this goes back to basic fucking psychology.
Yeah.
Right? A man will always fucking, whether they're aware of it or not, and let's face it, nobody's aware of it, they'll always subconsciously seek out their mother.
Yeah.
In a fucking person.
It's the same with the females as well.
And the female will always try and seek out someone who reminds them on some level of their dad. This is where the whole daddy issue fucking thing comes from. You know what I mean? It's how it fucking works. And to find... You know, to see it out there and fucking put in not so subtle fucking terms is fucking, you know, pretty heavy in its own fucking special way. And Linda Hamilton, can I just say, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. John Connor's mum, man. John Connor's mum.
Fucking A right.
So, yeah, no, it was a really good fucking season. And the cross-content with the game, which has been their whole fucking selling point from the start, you know, they've got a game out there that's currently free to play.
Yeah.
So if you like the show or this sounds rather interesting, go along, download the game for free. You can get it on PC, PlayStation, or Xbox for free, for nothing, mind you. Go along, you play that, you can play through. And what would happen is every couple of episodes, if you were playing the game, something would come up. You get these missions in the game that would impact the episodes. You know what I mean? It would impact the TV series. And, you know, the TV series would reference shit that would happen in the game. It was like the big one this season was Von Buck Industries.
Mm.
Was everywhere. It was all about the ego units that a big part of the game, and Von Buck, who was a big part of the game, or is a big part of the game.
Yeah.
And the cross content was just fucking cool. You know what I mean? Like, have you played through all of it yet?
Not all of it.
Oh.
I'm up to season 2, episode 3.
Yeah, like I noticed that it almost doubled.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't watch Defiance for about 3 weeks because I knew the missions were sitting there and I wanted to play the missions before I fucking watched the show. Like, I really did, like, you know what I mean? And it was all very fucking relevant.
Mm.
You know, what with the whole fucking cross-hybridization, yeah. You know, the fucking interspecial fucking child that was brewing in Christie's belly. So, what do you give it, dude?
I'm going to give this one a solid A.
Fuck that. A+.
I can't give it an A+.
I do.
But I can't give it an A. It's like a half... an A... pull?
Whoa, what's stopping it from giving it an A for you?
I don't know. I don't know. Just feels like an A. Can't pinpoint it right now.
A+. This was damn near fucking perfect. Like, it really was. As far as I'm concerned, the game content, the fucking show content, the fucking development, the darkness, the fucking complexity of everything to do with this show, it's a little sleeper hit.
Mm.
As far as I'm concerned, it's just perfect. Absolutely perfect. Like, there were some episodes in the first season where I just cringed. I didn't get that this season, you know what I mean? Like, it was amazing in its depth and complexity. It was just beautiful.
Oh, yeah, don't get me wrong. I fucking loved it. I loved it to bits. It was my favourite TV show. And I'll be very fucking disappointed if they don't bring it on for a season 3. Very fucking disappointed.
And that's the thing. Oh.
What?
That's the other thing. It hasn't been renewed for a season 3 yet.
It hasn't.
And the way they ended it was conducive to it ending or it starting. You know what I mean? It tied up all the main fucking story points.
Yeah.
Ended around about where it ended last season. You know, there's a few cliffhangers. But if we didn't get another season, we would cry and be disappointed and beg and plead for a movie or Netflix to pick it up. But it's not like this big fuck you that Lost was.
Yeah, yeah.
For instance. Or Firefly was to a lesser instance. You know what I mean? So, yeah, no, look, I got to give it an A+. I really do.
There you go.
So, I'm officially too drunk to taste this chicken.
Yes, Colonel.
I'm out. I'm done.
You're out? You're done.
I'm finished. Thank you for joining us for this very, very special World Beard Day edition of the Drunken Beardsman podcast.
And bro. Happy Father's Day for tomorrow.
And happy Father's Day, not only to you, but to all the fathers out there.
Fucking A.
Where can they find us, dude?
Head over to www.thedrunkenbeardsman.com. Where you will find all of our content, all of our extra content. If you go to the Facebook, Twitter, iTunes and Stitcher Radio links, you can follow us, rate and review us consecutively.
In or around about that same fucking order.
Exactly.
So thank you for bearing with us while we had a week off. Until next time. Join us on the same bearded channel at the same drunken time. I'm Drunk with Dan.
I'm JD.
And remember,
stay beardy.
Perfect. Cheers!
Just close your eyes and touch me in the beard.
my beard are gonna have a really nice time.
My beard,
it's waiting for you, and girl, you know I want you to. So put your hand up in my beard and see what you can find.
You don't have to be scared.
Just touch it, baby, yeah.
All my facial hair.
Just put your hand right there.
There's magic in the air.
And darling, yeah, you really want to touch it for reasons you can't understand. You want it so much, so baby, just retouch your hand.
Thanks for listening. This has been a production of R vs. R Media. Theme song is Touch Me in the Beard and is provided with much gratitude by The Beards. Find more of their stuff at www.thebeards.com.au. Remember to go ahead and check out the website at www.thedrunkenbeardsman.com, where you'll find all our booze reviews, rants, and previous episodes of the podcast.
Tingles up and down your spine. Tears well up, emotions flow. Don't be scared, just let it all go. This is the moment dreams come true. So do I want you to do?
And don't